Somebody can read John 4, verses 1 through 24.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thy being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldn't ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Thank you. Y'all see how he said that twice. He says in verse 23, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh. The Father seeketh. He seeketh such to worship him. Then it says again in verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He says it again. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless and we praise your name to know that you alone are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we pray that you take control of this Bible study, even these minutes that we have. oh God, to know that they belong to you. God, Lord, we extol you. We invite your presence into our hearts. Oh God, even those that are online, whether on Zoom or on the phone, God, we pray that you move by the aid of your Holy Spirit. Paul said, I am crucified with you. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. But Christ now lives in me. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave his life for us, who loved us and gave his life for us. So God, we pray, oh God, that you just have your way on tonight, that you will search even our hearts. God, that Lord, that you that hearts will be edified and encouraged and strengthened, even through conviction of your word. God, that Lord, we won't get off this Bible study the same. Deal with me, deal with my heart as a teacher, oh God, that you will speak even through us. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to deal with cultivate heart for worship. And we thank God. We talk about worship. It's not about the end product, but it's about the beginning product. It's not about the outward, but it's about the inward. Amen. And we're just going to look at that a little bit tonight. And so when we see here, this is a familiar passage to everybody. At least it should be, John chapter 4. But guess what? We can't get too proudful. Even reading a passage like this, because it's God always has something to say. What I saw in John chapter 4 3 years ago, God will break our hearts, turn this thing on his head, and we'll see something that we've never seen before. Even like when we were dealing with the Corinthians, right? So many of those passages, some you know, but his word is living. It's quick, it's alive. And even in this, God has a way of showing us something else that we have not seen before. That's the omniscience. Amen. The power of God's word. And so when we see here, Jesus, who met this woman at the well, and I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning, but just a few things we want to point out and pick out here. When Jesus met this woman, there cometh a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus says unto her, give me drink. For the disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. And we know that was intentional. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And we see Christ who came to seek and to save, regardless of race, culture, or background. Christ came even to the Bible says he came into his own, but his own received them not. But to as many, his own received them not. His own people, Jewish people. But to as many as did receive him, to them he gave what? Power. He gave power to become the sons of God. Amen. And that is a powerful verse to know that God knocks at the door of all of our hearts. Amen. And so when he says, seek ye this day, seek ye the Lord, while I may be found, call upon him. While he is near, let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will abundantly pardon. That's everybody. And lately we've been seeing just so much separation and division among cultures and backgrounds and so many things that are going on in this world. But Christ came to cut across culture. Mm-hmm. He came to cut across, you know, now this big anti-Semitism and all these just hate. We see it in the political race. We see it. We see it, the division. But here we see Christ coming through Samaria, I must needs go to meet this woman at the well, who Jews didn't really associate themselves with Samaritans. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given the living water. The woman says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And whence then hast thou this living water? Right? And already Christ here, she could detect that Christ was dealing with her on a spiritual level. But she kept taking the conversation to a literal and a physical level. And we're gonna deal with that, because y'all know we face that. Where we go, where we witness, and we'll talk to people and witness to people, and regardless of what we say, being led by the Lord, they'll take what we say from a spiritual and bring it to a physical. They'll take what we say from the word of God and bring it to a literal. And guess what, y'all? That's done intentionally. That's done intentionally. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Williams, who always quotes Romans chapter 8, for the carnal mind is enmity against God, against the things of God. It's not subject to the word of God, neither indeed can be. And that's why sometimes when we're conversing with some people, we learn over time how to pray. Pray for the conversation. You got to pray, God, give me the right words to say. You don't even know what to say, but the Spirit in you can give you the right words to say. Amen? Mm-hmm. To take that conversation back from a physical and apply it to a spiritual. And so we go on here to see how Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, what? Springing up unto what? Everlasting life. Amen. And I just thank God. I mean, I'm telling you, I thank God for our fulfillment that we have in Christ through his word. Amen. And listen, and not only that, right? But shall be in him a well of living water springing up. That's a spiritual fountain that we have on the inside. And what feeds the fountain through the Holy Ghost is the word of God. And I'm telling you, we touched on it just a little bit on Sunday. You see the desperation. You see the desperation of people in this world. I'm telling you, you see the desperation of people who don't know whether they gone or they coming, right? You see the desperation of people that aren't loved and looking for love, looking for belonging, looking for true identity, looking for true fulfillment. Amen. And he said, I will give you that water. Amen. I will give you that well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. And we see it. We preach about it even on Sunday, how Solomon, he conducted this experiment. Yeah. Amen. And I'm telling you, and I'm going, listen, and how the Lord, right, just broke my heart. God broke my heart to the desperation of man. In Ecclesiastes, right? Chapter 2, verse 3 Solomon said, I saw in my heart to give myself unto wine. And what that means in the Greek, I looked it up in the Greek. He saw in himself to gratify the flesh. That's Ecclesiastes verse 3. And I'm telling you, I was on the train when I read that verse, and it's like God just spoke to me. He said, this is what man is trying to do. Man is trying to gratify his flesh. And so when the alcohol couldn't do it, when the drugs couldn't do it, when getting married over and over again, or you got hurt in the marriage, your husband cheated on you, or your wife cheated on you, then we go to the pronouns and the gender identity. And now they got this thing called gender fluid or gender fluidity. And even my son came home and this stuff is in school. It's in the high school. And were telling me kind of what gender fluid means. And it's like, and they even got pronouns that say, I can be a different person every day. If I feel like being this person one day, if I feel like being a boy one day, but maybe the next day I might feel like being a girl. Listen, we don't bash, but we let people know Christ is the only way. Amen. Amen. And so Solomon sought to feel the gratification of this flesh, but he could not do it. Amen. And verse 10 says, and whatsoever mine eyes desire, that's the lust of the flesh, right? What your flesh craves. That's the lust of the eye. The tree was pleasing to the eye. Amen. And the pride of life, the pride that man has for just achievements and goals and to be puffed up of knowledge. That's all that's in the world. And so when Solomon says, I kept not from them, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion for all my labor. Amen. And in verse 11, he goes on to say, I looked at my hands and I found out, behold, all was vanity and vexation. Vexation of the spirit. You get caught in that desperation. You get caught in trying to feed and fill. And I'm telling you, it's like a vexing comes with this stuff. And through the vexing come the habits. And through the habits come the addiction. And it feels like people are desperate and hopeless and they're locked. And you know, I've been having a prayer request. One of my many is, God, we're praying for desperate hearts. I'm praying for hopeless hearts. Mm. Amen. That wherever y'all go, everybody on this line, guess what? There will be a light cast. Amen. There will be a light cast through your life that they will see a way out of the desperation and the hopelessness they have. Amen. I don't care who you are on the line. If you got Christ, we got to be mindful of his vision and his call and his commission to go out amongst the dying world that people might see Christ. Amen. And I know people are there. Amen. Amen. And guess what, y'all? We see the desperation of this woman at the well. We see this desperation. For the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither, so I don't have to come here no more to draw. And Jesus said unto her, and y'all notice, we're talking about worship. The first thing that Christ says to her, first thing he says to her, when she says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. First of all, let me back up. The woman says unto him, give me this water that I thirst not. When we look at the great I ams, Jesus says he's the living water. He's the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I am the true vine. He is the rock, but he's also the resurrection and the life. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But thank God for everybody. And you look at bread. and water, and I am the true vine. All those when you look at what does it take for man to live physically, we need bread, we need water, we need life, but Christ takes it from a physical to a spiritual, right? And he's everything we need. Amen. He's my everything. He's everything that we need. And so he goes on to say, Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and tell him to come here. And the woman answered and said, she said it real quick, the shortest sentence in the passage, one of them. She said, I have no husband. Right? And I heard some people say, well, technically she might not have had no husband, but I think she knew what Jesus meant. Amen. But Christ dealt with her heart. He had to get to the crux of her heart. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. She was living in sin. And that saidest thou truly. Amen. So the first point, when we talk about a cultivated heart for worship, the first point is the seed of the word must first break up this hollow, the ground, must break up the fallow ground. Amen. And that's conviction. Christ had to meet her, this woman. He had to meet her in a place of conviction. Amen. And I thank God that Christ just didn't let her slide. And if you notice, even after, he said, you have five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your own, right? The gospel comes, salvation comes through the seed of conviction. I'm telling you, it comes through the seed of conviction. Amen. When the Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it's a perfect gift of God. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it's the conviction of recognizing that you're a sinner in need of a savior. Amen. That Christ died on the cross for our sins. And there's no salvation without a repentative heart. John the Baptist told those Pharisees and Sadducees that came to the baptism, he said, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Because repentance is really the first word of the gospel. Y'all know that. Y'all can write that down. Repentance is the first word of the gospel. Guess what? And repentance is the first word of worship. Yes, it is. And so Christ, first of all, he didn't smooth the message over and not deal with the sin that was in this lady's heart. Now, let's go back. We see this woman. She was desperate. She was longing. She had been with five husbands in. Me and my wife, we watched her. She was watching it. CSI, one of these forensic scientist, and it was a lady. She had two girls and a husband. Her and her husband broke up, and everybody they interviewed, they said this lady hated to be alone, so she got remarried, right? That marriage didn't work out. And she was with her husband for like 10 years before they divorced. She got with this guy. That didn't work out. They got divorced. She got with another guy, third husband, and that didn't work out. Then she got with a fourth husband, right? That didn't work out, and that fourth husband killed her. He killed her. That's why it was on that show, right? But when we look at just, man, the longing of people, and one of the greatest misconceptions, and don't get me wrong, y'all, marriage is a blessing. Bible says that for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and be joined to his own wife, right? That's what the word of God says. And God lays out the order for marriage. Husband of one wife. Amen. Divorce. God says, I hate divorce, is what he says in the Bible. Right? And so marriage is a blessing from God. But this woman, she was looking. She was searching for something that none of these men could not meet. None of these men could not satisfy. And even the one she was with was not hers, her own. And I'm telling you, people get married looking to feel complete. And that's a lie from the devil. Amen. And thank God, I don't do a whole lot of marriage counseling. But when you do it, we don't do marriage counseling, thank God for it. Reverend Williams, and we have our marriage counselors on the line, marriage ministry. But the number one thing in marriage counseling is knowing who you are, knowing Christ. First of all, you got to be saved. And you got to know this love of Jesus Christ. And we counsel from the perspective of being complete already in Jesus Christ, being loved already in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, we have a progression that we go through in marriage counseling. The first one is Ephesians 5. We deal with that, right? And then we go back to Ephesians 3. Because if that person doesn't know, they're fulfilled and they're sustained. And then they go into a marriage, people looking for expectations that this person is going to satisfy me or complete me, you'll be sadly mistaken. Amen. A marriage is not about what you can get. Hallelujah. I say amen to myself. Amen. But a marriage is about what you can give. The Bible says that wives love your husband, be faithful to your husband. And then it gives a charge to the man. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for the church. And that's the way husbands ought to treat our wives, that we would give our lives. And not just, oh, I would give my life if somebody came in and robbed us, right? But that we serve is self-sacrifice. Amen. I remember a marriage counselor told me, they said, what he's giving you now, that's the best you're going to get. They said, because guess what? I didn't have no kids. I had money in my pocket, right? You know, when we courting, boy, you get the best of that person. But soon as you get married and the babies start coming, guess what? You see the worst of that person. Amen. But the one thing I'll say, if that man don't know Jesus Christ, you got to be in love. Amen. For the life of Christ to come through that husband and flow through that home. Amen. So I just felt the need, and she was looking for this need in men. And these men couldn't satisfy what she was longing for. Amen. So the word must first break up the fallow ground. The seed of the word must break up that heart. Amen. Isaiah 66:2 says, all these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this one to whom I will look, he who is of a humble and a contrite, who is humble and contrite in spirit, that trembles at my word. David says in Psalm 51, a broken spirit, right? And a broken and a contrite heart, God says, I will not despise. Amen. Also, Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite, that's a heart of contrition. Amen. A heart of brokenness, a heart that you're willing to see your sin and humble spirit, and to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's the dwelling place. That's the dwelling place of God through our repentance, through our acknowledgement that we're desperate without God. We can't make it without him. And also the things that are in our hearts that God must get to and root out. Amen. That's why the Bible says, receive with meekness the what? Engrafted word of God that's able to save our souls. And that's a continual process. That's a continual process. Amen. That as God, and I said the other day, we said it the other day, how the Lord, right? It's like going through the Corinthians and going through this word, when our hearts are availed to him, right? And David says in Psalm 51, and listen, I know we've taught these scriptures already, and I know we went over a lot of this stuff in the past, but it's needful for us to go back over these things again. Amen. Because God is at a point over these next couple weeks, he's setting it up. But just to lay the background, we've got to go over these scriptures again. But the Bible says in Psalm 51, after David sinned with Bathsheba, and you think about the things that he did. He had a woman murdered, a man murdered, put him on the front line so he could have his wife. In Psalm 51, right, David says, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And that goes for all of us. Amen. We're born into a sinful world. And he says, behold, thou desire truth. Where? In the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shall make me to know wisdom. Amen. And guess what? That inward part, the innermost place where the Spirit of God resides in us, there's some things in our hearts that only us and the Lord knows. And the word of God reveals those things to us, that God might deal with our hearts. Amen. When we get below surface church. And so when we look at this conversation that Jesus Christ was having with her, and the fact that she tried to brush off that she had no husband, she got nervous. That has well said, and he said, you got five husbands. Now, and the one that you have now is not yours. And the woman said, well, you must be a prophet or something. Right? And then after that, she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Now, where did that come from? Where did that come from? She said, the fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Y'all, she tried to change the subject. She tried to get off of her own exposure and her own conviction. Amen. And guess what? We as preachers, I can't, man, when I know there's some things in my heart that are not right, guess what? I can't teach. I can't preach. Guess what? We've got to settle the aughts in our hearts. And so when David goes on in Psalms 51, right? Psalms 51, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Make me to hear the joy of the bones which thou hast broken, that I may rejoice. Then he says, create in me a what? Clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit away. Restore me unto the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. He says all these verses. And then he says one word. He says, then I will teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted. Guess what? And that's a broken heart of exposure. That's the qualification for anything we can do in the church. Amen. That God breaks our heart to see ourselves and to see our sin. He couldn't teach. He couldn't do anything, because what happens is when the Lord does not deal with the heart, or we don't allow, if she would have blocked and just ignored what Christ was pointed at in her, and she would have just kept going. What we do in the church, this is what we do in the church. We built layers. We built layers over sin in our life. But before Christ could save her, because she got saved, right there, she got saved. Because she went out and made a confession to people, come meet a man. Amen. But before she could get there, guess what? God had to deal with the sin in her heart. Amen. He had to deal with the sin in her heart. Amen. And that's the qualification for anything we can do. That it's not about the note, but it's about a heart. Amen. It's about a heart. When David says, make me to hear the joy of gladness that my bones, which thou hast crushed, that I may rejoice. And sometimes you see the preachers will come up in the pulpit. Man, there'll be tears in our eyes. That's the qualification to preach. Amen. God has to first deal with our hearts. Sometimes he deal with my heart the night before. And sometimes he don't. Sometimes he deal with my heart the morning of. And sometimes I get up to pray and he begins to deal with our hearts and the tears will begin to come down. And that's where worship and joy and reverence takes place. It's not about the outside in. Amen. But it's about the inside out. God is a spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. True worship takes place on the inside, within our hearts, which is the dwelling place of God. Y'all gonna write this scripture down? Psalms 103. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. True worship is from the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen. And it's the place of the innermost being. It's the place of the innermost being where the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can have free course. Amen. In your life. Boy, I'm telling y'all, listen, when God delivers me, when he brings me through something or show me something in my life, and they say, tell me, how did you feel? When you've come out of the wilderness, something that I had that I was wrestling with, and I may have been part of the problem, some things in my heart that I was not, I'm talking about me, that I was not letting go. And you can, man, you the point through the Word of God where he breaks my heart to confessing my sin. And guess what? Nobody on this line knows what I'm talking about, an incident or whatever it was. But it's so personal between me and God. And when he breaks my heart to repentance and confession and giving that thing to him, I'm telling y'all, that's the greatest joy. That's my highest time of praise with the Lord. And sometimes it's a passage. I'm just reading. And God will break my heart to whatever it is. And I just sit back and just think of the goodness of Jesus. I think about his love and his grace and his mercy and the fact that this Bible is real. It's a living, moving organism. Why in the world would a holy God, not only did he come to save me, but the fact that he will conform me, show me the mess of my ways, and restore me over and over again. I'm not talking about restoration just to get back to where I was, but the Bible says he takes us from one degree of grace to another, and that's the suffering of self, that his life might be manifested in us. And y'all, and I'm gonna tell you something. And so she tried to have a conversation. She tried to evade the conviction of what was coming at her heart. She could sense she was in the presence of Jesus Christ. 100% man and 100% God. She could feel, she knew something. Amen. One there that told her about herself. Then she tried to change the subject. And Jesus said unto her, he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father, right? Because it's not about a geographical location. It's not about, oh, we got to have the right element and atmosphere in these four walls. Don't get me wrong. There's a way you got to anoint the church and pray that God's presence is in the place. But the presence of God is in the heart. Amen. And we're going to deal more with it next week. We're going to deal more with the temple. But just for now, right? Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem, because the Jerusalem's face the temple. I mean, the Jews face the temple in Jerusalem, or they worship toward Jerusalem, worship the Father. And so, Christ, listen, Christ made a public declaration. He made an announcement. One of the greatest announcements that he made, a bunch of announcements about who he was. But the thing about this woman who was a sinner searching, he made an announcement to her that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. He made that announcement. Ye worship, ye know what you know. You worship, ye know not what we know. What we worship, for salvation is of the true Jews. And what that means is salvation is through the Jews. Amen. But the hour cometh, and this is the announcement, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and truth. Amen. And the Father seeketh such to worship. Yeah, listen, I can sit here and just meditate on this word. And as it deals with my heart and the truth, my true condition, she had to see the true condition of her heart in light of the love of God and the word of God. Amen. And that's the truth. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you are my what? Disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? The truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. Listen, and what I want to say about that is salvation is a one-time act. But the truth, as the truth sets us free, it's a continuation that as things are revealed in our hearts, we don't layer them up with church and religion. But as the truth of God's word impacts our heart, that we're conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And if Christ would have got in the debate of Jerusalem and what she wanted to do, right, pull him off of conviction, which is where, and I'm not talking about anybody's church, but it's where a lot of churches are. And it's called surface religion. It's called surface for church, where we want to keep the message. And you can preach about Jesus Christ. Amen. You can talk about the woman with the issue of blood. You can talk about blind Bartimaeus. You can talk about a lot of things. But we'll keep the word of God on the surface and not allow it to deal with our hearts. Amen. And this is where she wanted Christ. But Christ went further. And he started dealing with truth and the spirit. The truth of her heart and the spirit. And the spirit, and Jesus said, I think in Matthew, I forget where it's at, but he says, this temple shall be destroyed, but I will come and raise it in 3 days. He was talking about his body. Amen. Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to this. Verse 16, Hebrews chapter 10. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those whose days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws where? In their hearts. And Jeremiah 33 says, in their inward parts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Why? Because he took our sin. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of this world. And then it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ and by a new and living way. That's what it's about. A new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Amen. And it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Y'all see that? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the Bible says that he abolished in his flesh the enmity of us all. And when he died on the cross, it would have been the same time that the priest would have been in the temple offering up sacrifices. Amen. And the Bible says that the curtain was rent from top to bottom. And now he's become our new and living way. Amen. He's become the new and living way. So no longer are we on the outside. No longer are we on the outer court. No longer are we in the inner court. But Christ is the new and living way. We have access into the most holy place. Access into the most holy place of God. And that's where worship, the heart that lives in us. Amen. That's where true worship comes from. Amen. Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, when we receive the Spirit of God, he comes into our heart, cries, Abba, Father. That means daddy. Man, listen, that's a crying relationship that we have. Amen. And it's the word of God We grow. We grow through the Word of God. And man, and listen, and I thank God, man. I thank God because we can build without this true contrition and the brokenness of the heart. If Christ had never really dealt with her sin and she would have went on, first of all, she would have took her water pot with her. That's the first thing. She wouldn't have dropped her water pot, right? She might have went and told people, you know, about a man. Mm-hmm. But it was personal. They could see it. Man, there was something permeating from this woman. Amen? Verse 25 says, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I am he that speaketh with thee. Right? And the verse 28 says, the woman left. She left her water pot and went her way into the city, saying, come meet a man that told me everything that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. And you know, and even further on, you see her again conversing with people. She was shamed before to go and speak even before people because people knew her business. Y'all know how like stuff spread in the town. People know their business. But there was a change. There was a change in this woman. And all I can say is I'm going to leave y'all with this. When Christ dug up, we talk about the seed of the Word of God that breaks up. Matthew chapter 13. Some plant on good ground. Some plant, the seed went on thorny ground. And then the Word of God, the fruition of the Word came to some. Some it sprung up and the sun scorched it because it had no dearth. It had no girth. It wasn't planted and rooted. And I want to say this. When we layer over stuff in our lives, it could be from a childhood. Never excuse or ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. When God is speaking to you about some things in your heart, I don't care from how long it was. I don't care what you were shaped by, what you saw, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's anger. When the Bible says, let not the sun what? Go down on your wrath. What we want to do in the church, we want to layer it over and smooth it over with religion. Amen. And listen, and that's why, y'all, somebody we go to church with, and we can know this person for years, and we know them, we're church acquaintances. Maybe they go to community, maybe they don't, but we see them, hallelujah, praise God. Then all of a sudden, you run into this person in the store, and they look at you just mean, and they just tell you off. Guess what, y'all? That just don't happen. How one day this woman was speaking to you, she was, oh, hallelujah, praise Jesus. And then the next day, their face, their countenance changes, and they can just tell you off. Amen. I've been there. I've been in those situations, right? There are things that are buried in that's still controlling the atmosphere of that heart. And when the right button is pushed, guess what? Bing! It comes back. Amen. You can be a missionary. You can be a preacher. You can be a singer. You can be a musician. You can be an usher. You can be a deacon. And there still be some things in your heart that have been buried. They've been buried. They've been buried down inside your heart. Amen. And they create grooves and ruts. And guess what? You have a layer of religion on the top. And just like a bundt cake, right? Where the sin has been sprinkled in, even as a baby, and you pull that cake out the oven and it's got a swirl in it. The Bible says a little bit of leaveneth messes up the whole lump. We have to take, and thank God for Reverend Williams, we have to take this word off the shelf. Amen. Our hearts have to be broken. And I thank God it's so personal that the taint of sin that's in my heart, guess what? God is able to get it out of there through deliverance. Amen. And I thank God that's worship. That's true worship. Worship don't start when we get to church. Amen. Worship is in the, it starts in the heart, in our closets, when we are before the Lord. Amen. I just love God. I love him. Amen. And I'm grateful to a holy God who does not mind exposing me to myself. And whether you know it or not, then just like we say, when you reject this message of brokenness and death, guess what, y'all? We say no thank you to real joy. No thank you to real peace. Amen. Real relationship and real love from permeating through, regardless of somebody not speaking to you, regardless of somebody frowning their face at you. You know, people can change even in the church, right? And a lot of times, the devil will put stuff in people's head. Oh, you know, she didn't speak to you today. And mess around, you'll have an attitude with that person. And y'all don't even know where it started. And you're not speaking to them. Amen. Whether it's gossip, whether it's cliques, guess what? God wants to deliver us. When we're insecure and we don't know who we are, it's the word of God. There's still some stuff and still some roots. And guess what? We'll only see everybody else. David, when Nathan came to David, he said, who is he? Who took the land? Who took the Elam? I'm a killer. And Nathan turned to David and said, you the man, David. You the man. Amen. And so I just bid everybody, amen, continue. I'm talking, that's worship. That's true worship. That's worship. Because guess what, y'all? You will be less worried about who's looking at you. Who's talking about you. You'll have the true King help us. Can't help us is not just praise out of my mouth, but can't help us to the joy that bubbles up on the inside. The peace, the long suffering, the fruit, here it is, it's the fruit of the Spirit that will exude from your pores. You ain't got to try, but it's through the continued examination of this word of God. Thank God Christ dealt with her sin and she was exposed to the things of her heart. And then he dealt with true worship. Speaking of his death, amen, amen, the hour coming, because he knew he was going to be the Lamb, that he would send the Comforter, that we would worship. He would be seated at the right hand of God, and we would have access. We could come boldly to the throne of grace, but it's through the truth of our inward hearts, amen, in the Spirit of God. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you just for who you are, to know that you are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we just pray. Even on this line, God, even myself, that we take to heart the examination of your word. And that's the greatest times of joy and praise. Oh God, when you say, I have the high and the holy one. Eternity is my dwelling place. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. And I also dwell in the hearts of them with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God, help us, help us, help us. Oh God, that this word will continue to engraft in us. That this word will continue to deliver us. And when it knocks on something in our hearts, whether it's unforgiveness, whatever it could be, that, Lord, we will just let this word have free course, that it can just continue to conform us and shape us to the image of your Son. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Mm-hmm.